In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, delighted today to talk with Shirley Dobson. I'm in her studio, and we're going to be talking about several things, primarily prayer. Welcome, Shirley, and thank you so much for giving me this privilege.
Elizabeth, it is my honor to be on your broadcast today. I've been a great admirer of you for years and enjoyed your books and your radio broadcast, and my, what a ministry you've had.
Well, to God be the glory. And since we're talking about family prayer, and you come from a family and have a family, and so do I, there's lots to say. Tell me about the importance of family prayer.
Probably the training that children get at home is probably the most important that they will ever receive. It carries them through life. And prayer is an anchor to the family. I know when I was growing up, when I was scared or worried or anxious or just had any little bobble in my life, I'd go to my knees in prayer. So I think prayer is very important to a family.
I come from a family who every single morning after breakfast, we were all herded into the living room. And either my father or my mother would sit down at the piano and play a hymn. And we would sing one hymn, all the stanzas. They were not praise songs in those days. They were the great hymns of the faith. And then my father would read the Bible. And then we all got down on our knees. And he prayed for us and with us. And then we concluded with the Lord's Prayer. And of course, I would be able to say that as a kid, it wasn't as though we were eager to hear that, but it was a routine and there was never any deviation.
Elizabeth, I remember a similar situation when I was in college. I was invited over to a friend's home, and I did not come from a Christian home. My mother had a deep faith in God, but I have to say, when I was a small child, she isn't what we would call today a born-again Christian. But I remember going to this home where they were Christians, and it was a Friday night, and the next morning we gathered at breakfast, and I'll never forget that after breakfast, the father asked all of us to kneel by our chairs, and he prayed for each one of us by name. And not coming from a Christian home, that made such an impression on me. I never forgot that, and we tried to model that in our home on Saturdays. We'd kneel by our chairs after breakfast, and Jim would pray for each one of us by name. So that was very powerful in my life.
Well, that's wonderful. Family prayer, so important, isn't it? And it does give children a firm foundation. I think of how when 5 out of the 6 of us became missionaries, our parents continued to follow us with their prayers. And I'm so very grateful for that.
You know what I was thinking the other day? I was wondering if God knows every thought, and he's known every thought, according to the Bible, since the foundation of the world, then why doesn't he just know our thoughts, and why do we have to pray? And I was talking to Jim about this, my husband, and I said, isn't it interesting that he knows our thoughts, and yet he wants us to pray? And Jim said, well, he said, there's no relationship in eavesdropping. God wants a relationship with us. You can't have a relationship with someone if you don't talk to them. You couldn't have a relationship with Lars if you didn't have a conversation now and then. And it just boggles my mind that the Lord wants us to have a heart-to-heart, spirit-to-spirit relationship with him and express that in talking to him in prayer. And it's just a conversation. Someone said, when we don't pray, we're depending upon ourselves. And when we do pray, we're depending upon God. Mm. And I said, I think that says a lot in a nutshell. Prayer has been very important to me all of my life. Growing up as a small child, that's really where I started a prayer life, was kneeling by my tiny bed in my bedroom and calling upon the Lord daily, and have continued that tradition through my growing up years. And even now, I set aside one day a week for prayer and fasting, that the Lord would just cover my family, cover this ministry, cover other ministries, and he has been so faithful.
Are there ever times, Shirley, when you just really don't feel as though you're getting through to God?
Yes. Sometimes I feel like my prayers are hitting the ceiling. But, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us to pray when we feel like it. Prayer is a discipline. It's a commitment in your life. And so you never know, though, when the Lord is going to break in your prayer closet. And when he does, oh, isn't it worth it? Have you had times, Elizabeth, when you've been praying that the sweetness of the Spirit has just come in and you've just broken into tears? I mean, you feel his presence so strongly.
Yes, I think I can honestly say I have had some occasions like that, but not many. I'm a worry wart, and it's something that one is required to get over. You know, the Bible says don't worry about anything, whatever, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God.
One night about 11 o'clock at night, Jim and I were burdened to pray for our daughter. She was out with a friend and they were having a good time somewhere, but we just were impressed to pray for her. And about midnight, she came home and she said, "Dad and Mom, oh," she said, "I had the most scary night." She said, "Let me tell you what happened." She said, "My friend and I went to a hamburger place and we bought some hamburgers and we pulled around the corner and we parked and we were just enjoying our hamburgers and our Cokes. And all of a sudden, we heard this clunk underneath the car. And she said, this man crawled out from under my car, had little linen-type glasses, and was looking in the window. And she said, I quickly locked the door and started up the car and left. And she found out later from some of her other friends that some policemen had been looking for this man, and he'd been hiding under their car. And that was at the precise time that Jim and I were burdened to pray for Danae, and we're on our knees praying for her. So I think the Spirit draws us into prayer many times when there is a need.
Well, that is amazing. That's remarkable. Now, are there different types of prayer, Shirley?
I really like the ACTS principle, A-C-T-S. A for adoration, where we praise and worship and just enjoy the Lord, thank him for who he is and for his gifts to us. And then the C is confession. You know, the Lord says in his word that he doesn't hear our prayers if we have sin in our life, known sin that's blocking our relationship with him. T, which is thanksgiving, to thank him for all his gifts, to thank him for his daily provisions and his protection in our life. And then S would be supplications and requests should be last. But many times, don't you think we go to four first, the supplication and the request? We have our wish lists and, Lord, would you take care of this today? And would you bless me in this effort today? And we really forget to come before him in adoration and praise and worship, which is the very first part of ACTS, the adoration.
And what a privilege. You know, I think of the old hymn, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear." What a privilege to carry what?
Everything to God,
to God
in prayer.
In prayer.
Right. We don't have to go through his secretary. We don't have to get on his schedule. I mean, prayer is always available, and he's always has a listening ear. If I waited until I felt like praying, I probably wouldn't pray very often. Again, prayer is a discipline. And the Bible says that no one comes to the Father unless he's drawn by the Holy Spirit. And many times I feel drawn into prayer, but many times I don't feel anything. But I just pray in any way. And as I said, I never know when God's going to break in when I take the time. And it may only be 5 minutes. I think there's times when I pray in my car and I'm rushing somewhere and I'm in prayer in my car. There's times when I send up little arrow prayers before maybe I'm speaking or have an appointment. But Elizabeth, I also think there's time for the kind of prayers that take place in a prayer closet where you're really doing business with the Lord and you're really spending time at his feet. I think that's a very important part of a Christian's prayer life.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I like to pray while I'm walking sometimes. I mean, there are different times of the day when I like to pray. Usually it's early in the morning. That's definitely one thing that I don't ever want to omit.
I used to take a walk in the morning also. My husband's kind of on my case because I'm not exercising enough now, but I have a neighbor, she calls it her prayer walk, and so she does, like you, take a walk and pray. But, you know, however we want to do it, our pastor's wife, I remember, said one time, somebody asked her, when does she pray? And she said, well, the first time I can choose in my day, when I have a choice, where I could sit down with a cup of coffee and a magazine or a newspaper, that is a choice. The first time I have a choice, I spend that time in prayer. And she used to tape pictures on her chair that would help her come into the presence of the Lord. Maybe it would be a scene in the mountains or a lake or just something that would draw her into prayer. And I thought that was a very creative idea.
What about the importance of praying for our country and its leaders?
Oh, Elizabeth, that's where my heart is. I feel that prayer is the hope of our nation. And I feel that I was reading some time ago in the book of Ezekiel where God was looking across the nation of Israel, who was in much of the sin that we find America in today, into immorality, in adultery, in all kinds of wickedness. And the Lord said if he could find one person to stand in the gap, he wouldn't destroy Israel and he wouldn't disperse her. And when I get to heaven someday, I'm going to say, Lord, out of those hundreds of thousands of people, couldn't you find one righteous person? But apparently he couldn't, because he did destroy Israel and disperse her. And I see the National Day of Prayer like that. I see the prayer movement in this country as believers all across this nation standing in the gap for America. And all of us realize that the sins and the moral decline in this nation, we deserve judgment. We deserve the judgment of God. And I believe that prayer is staying his judgment on this country. And that when he looks down on the National Day of Prayer, he says, there are thousands of believers down there that are standing in the gap for America. So I'm going to stay my judgment for this time.
He's got the whole world in his hands, and he knows exactly what he's doing.
You know, Elizabeth, this country was founded on the God of the Bible and on his values and on his principles. And as long as we stay in line with that, we're going to do okay. But we're straying from those principles and those values, and we're reaping the consequences of it. And my heart's cry is through the prayers of God's people that he will stretch out his hand and return to us in the way of a revival or spiritual renewal in this land, that foundation that this country was birthed in.
Could you give a brief history of the National Day of Prayer? How long has it been observed?
Well, I'd love to. The National Day of Prayer, actually, days of prayer have been part of our country's history for many, many years, dating back to the Continental Congress in 1775, where they were having difficulty putting our Constitution together. And I think it was Benjamin Franklin that called for prayer. And then again, during the Civil War, under President Abraham Lincoln, he called for a day of prayer, humiliation for this country, that they would come together and pray. But in 1952, President Truman set a day, an annual day, for the National Day of Prayer. And then again in 1988, a wonderful thing happened under President Reagan. He signed the day, which was the first Thursday of May, into law, that the first Thursday of May will always be our nation's day of prayer. So it's something we should celebrate and participate in.
That's wonderful. Thank you for explaining all that. Now, why should people participate in the National Day of Prayer?
Well, in the first place, it's an act of Congress. It's been given to us, this day of prayer. And the National Day of Prayer is the sort of Judeo-Christian expression of that day of prayer. And we have about 40,000 volunteers and coordinators across the nation that help put on these prayer gatherings. And I think we could, somebody said to me, why can't we just pray in our closets? Why do we have to come out to a public observance? But I think it makes an incredible statement to the community that we're not depending upon the government to solve our problems. We're depending upon Almighty God, who's sovereign, to bless this nation, to guide us and to protect us. And I think it's wonderful if we can come out on the county courthouse steps or the Capitol steps and just really make a statement to our community and to be a light in our dark cities for the Lord.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.